2 Timothy. We're still in verse 6. The husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. We talked about the fruits being the fruit of what was planted, or the fruit of the loin, or that which comes from something. I think, we talked about a number of different areas where it talked about the visible expression. The fruit means the visible expression of that power within, so that there is no difference between thought and expression. There's no difference between the process that's going on inwardly as the one that's going on outwardly. And let's look at a couple more of those. The Galatians 5. Let's go there again. Galatians 5:22.
I have a question too. To get to the why he's the first partaker.
He must first, before he does anything else, he must first be a partaker. In other words, you cannot really talk about the mystery of God until the fruit is, there's really, the fruit has been visibly expressed. That's why we've talked many times about these places like where you were. And they say, well, the testimony of a new believer is just so sweet. No, it's not. It's just pure crap. It's lying most of the time. You should shut up until the outward expression is the same as the inward. Until that, I'm determined to speak of nothing until it has been wrought in me by Christ Jesus. Amen?
It's a good parable.
All right, Galatians 5. Let's start in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, how do you do that? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Does it mean if you are the charismaniac group, you walk around speaking in tongues all the time, praising the Lord all the time, you start using praise as a punctuation marks. You've all heard that. You know what I mean? Everything out, all praise the Lord, brother, praise the Lord. And it just becomes, it's you're trying to achieve something through sorcery. You think that the word Jesus is what has the power. It's not the word of Jesus, it's the nature of Jesus in which dwells the power. Well, God inhabits the praise of his people. No, not in just using praise as an instrument to move or generate excitement in a crowd, so you have soul power working. If you're in him and that is the outward expression that's working that with the same as what's inwardly, then praise becomes as natural as breathing. Every breath is praise because it's a revelation of him. You breathe out you breathe in him. So you walk in the flesh, i.e. you give breath or importance to the things that you perceive with your senses. As long as you do that, you're giving the evil one total sway over you. And you make the Holy Spirit your enemy. But if you walk in the Spirit, i.e. giving no importance to what you see, feel, hear, touch, or smell, that you see through everything, then you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Everybody understand that? What? You're doing it again, Gary. What would we do without you?
I was just looking at it in terms of daily activities as you respond to the things that come into your life, which is where else would it happen if there's, if this isn't a, something that you are, then you are a responder to circumstances.
Right, and you will always be a slave of the flesh. You may not. You may have been worked through the 12 steps and stopped drinking, but your confession is not that you're not confessing the Lord Jesus. You're confessing yourself. Anyway, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So your poverty becomes more. What does that mean? Well, just as you couldn't come to him until you'd reached the state of the inability to accomplish something, that increases until your only response to life is faith. Everybody understand? Kevin? I'm going to bring my BB. I'm going to bring my pellet gun to Bible study. I used to use a stick. But.
Praise
Jesus. So the. The flesh and the spirit are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Anybody know what I mean? No matter how hard you work, no matter what you do, you earn money to put in a bag full of holes, and the little you get, God blows on it. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Well, that's good.
Yeah, it is. That's why you're supposed to tithe first.
Before he blows it away.
I think we need to, I know, instead of a pellet gun, we need a penalty box. All right. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Why? Because Christ fulfilled the law and he's your only life. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now this isn't talking about a bunch of evil people, this is talking about what the flesh does. Now you don't murder anybody, maybe you haven't murdered anybody, maybe you have. But the point is, every time you hate when you withhold, and you murder when you withdraw. Now how many people have you withdrawn from? They're legion. How many people have you withheld? Because you didn't think it was the right thing to say. Because you filtered yourself as a governor in your mind, waiting to the right proper time or saying the right thing instead of just bubbling forth. That's the only reason Gary is here, because he shows you what bubbling forth is. And even if you say la-la land thing,
that's my reason to live.
silence is not golden in the body of Christ. Mum is not the word. I'm going to start rapping in a minute.
That'll be the day. Let her out. Let it down.
It might happen. You don't know.
What's that
oat meal? It could.
I didn't say it would be good.
Yeah, I didn't either. All right. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I probably need to work on the gentleness one.
There might be a lot of these.
Yeah, let's start picking out which ones.
And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So that's the fruit that's being talked about. Now let's go to Philippians 1.
No way to go from one to the other except
the cross. That's right. That's why the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Philippians. Verse 1, I thank my God upon every, chapter 1, verse 3, I'll get it right. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment or discernment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, which are by or from Christ Jesus, unto the glory and praise of God. As long as you try to do these things after the flesh, then you are still, you're not walking in the Spirit. The only way you're walking in the Spirit, the only way the fruits will be revealed, is this thing that happens until you finally, what you think, you say. You don't sit and judge whether or not you should say this or that. Because the trust is total that his life will be revealed. You have broken the dam so that you, yes, everything, and there'd be a few dead elephants that come out. There'd be a lot of things that come out. But the moment you start having a governor on you, on saying and waiting and getting and thinking and until you say the right thing in your mind, then you're still sitting as God in the temple of God, showing yourself that you're God, because you're still trying to get it right. Now that's why there's fire in the body, because this process goes on and on and on until only the pure living water comes forth. What?
I was thinking about Pisces.
good thought. We're studying the stars. All right. Hebrews 12. We studied this yesterday. That's all right. In verse 9, furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of all spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised or humbled thereby. What this is saying is that expression of the fruit of his life in you can only be revealed by correction, by remember in the 23rd Psalm, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now that's the most ridiculous statement in the world after the flesh, because both the rod and the staff are used for correction, and that whole idea that correction and a chastisement would yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness in us, we can't comprehend. That's why mostly when the Babylonian, instead of doing that, they teach you how to be outwardly religious. Oh, everybody smile, turn to your neighbor and say, God loves you. No, that's not the way it works.
This is the preaching of the cross. When that's happened in all of our meetings, and everybody walks out liberated, they're feeling the peaceable fruit of righteousness because their flesh has been destroyed through the cross.
Amen. Now just turn to the right to James chapter 3.
So I'm thinking of walking out of the opposite kind of meeting, a Babylonian meeting.
What?
Well, when you walk out of a Babylonian
meeting, oh yeah, he just feels terrible.
With all the things you got to do now to make all this work.
No, let's not go there. Well, maybe we should. Never mind. Verse 13, chapter 3. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation or manner of life his works with meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, the wisdom of how do you behave. Do you understand what I'm saying? The wisdom that 99.99% of us have received is we've been taught what the social customs are for you to be acceptable so the society can have the appearance of society. The tribe can be at peace, quote unquote. That's not the wisdom from above. The wisdom from above never has what you should do to attain something. It never has the slightest image of cause and effect after the flesh. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So again, you must first be a partaker of the fruit before you should open your mouth. And even then, you probably don't want to open your mouth. It has to come to the point. Let's go to Jeremiah, chapter 1.
Every time I'm looking at the word righteousness, I keep thinking about what we talked about, where Jesus is righteous because he goes to the Father.
It's the only righteousness.
Yeah, and so it's like it's changed all the meanings of righteousness in here as we read them. It's a different...
Jeremiah chapter 1, where are you? Now, this isn't a history book. It is. It tells us about Jeremiah, but it also tells us about what's going on in you, in me, and all. So, in verse 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Past tense. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And that's what the whole idea. Remember, everybody that when we do Passover and we have Elijah's cup, and I hope every Seder group has everyone take a sip of Elijah's cup, because that's your function. You go into your world and you speak. Some will hear, some will get really mad, and some will ignore it. But that's not your business. You got it a little bit? Doesn't matter where your world is. You're the same with paupers and kings. There's no difference in how you act wherever you are and wherever you go. I ordained thee a prophet unto the people. Well, nations is just the word am. It just means people. Then I said, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. I can't do this. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over nations and over kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and plant. You see, that must be every believer's position. Does that compute? You're thinking about it again.
Yeah, I am. Well, I'm thinking about abandonment that can happen.
Well, that's the only.
But I'm not done. But you have to be. This is something I was thinking about the last couple of days. You not only have to abandon your own self, but not be subject to other people's selves, and not be afraid of their faces. That's one of the things Jeremiah dealt with. He would respond to people's nasty looks back to his, you know, speaking, whatever. But if that's how you're doing, you may have overcome yourself, but you haven't overcome someone else's self.
Well, you haven't overcome yourself.
You haven't overcome it, right. But that's one of the lions at the gate to me. Is
now let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 13, For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Beside yourself means spiritually crazy. It means that if you're depressed, it is to God. If you're sad, it is to God. You own every aspect of who you are. It's a little bit. This is big.
So you're saying every feeling or everything you say or do is either acceptance or rejection.
Right, God. But everything is to God. It doesn't matter.
What's either rejecting or accepting? Is that wrong?
No, it's saying, look, again, the same thing, I don't remember which one it was, but one of the people that was in the gulag in Russia, in the Soviet Union, one of the pastors, thought he was going crazy in the cell. All kinds of weird thoughts. And his statement was, if I'm crazy, I'm God's crazy. And it's the same thing that happened to me. All those years fighting against pain. I finally said I had to ask for forgiveness. If I'm in pain, I'm God's, in God's pain. I own everything about me. It's because it's God's. And this is in Bill Lobdell's book. There's a chapter, quite a bit about us in there, but. He describes when he met me the first time. I was in bed. I was down to about 150 pounds. I was skin and bone. I had those electrodes, remember, on me. And I was giving myself a shot of Demerol or other things every 6 hours. I had a collar on my neck. And he was shocked when he met me. Because he'd heard all these stories.
He was expecting something else.
Yeah, he was expecting some robust
giant of a man.
But when I hadn't thought about that really. I mean, the extent of it. But when I read that, I started crying because. And
it had some meaning and significance that you were in that position.
Yeah.
So it's not a wasted.
It's like you're. Your weakness is God's strength.
Yeah.
That's a pretty weak
position. And then it happened again, or just a few months ago, when the pain came back after they had fixed my nose. And the pain was so intense, I was just writhing on the floor. And, you lose control of your bowels and everything. And, I could still say I'm God's, writhing on the floor. Back to 2 Corinthians 5. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. In other words, there's nothing. You're always the only definition of being a normal Christian or a normal believer is that you've laid down your life for others. There's nothing in you that is protecting any part of you or yours. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And he that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, that we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Now, to know no man after the flesh is huge. You don't look at your family and see family. You don't look at your children and see your children. You see brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, you've lost all the labels. You don't see presidents or paupers. You don't see men of power or men of weakness. You know no man after the flesh. Or woman. Well, that may be a little bit, because if that really... Never mind. That's this is the normal way of a believer's walk.
You see Christ.
Anybody have anything come to mind? From the Rutledge camp? From the Buckner camp? All righty, take it, big guy. Martin Camp. Take it, big guy, again.